Blog Talk Radio.
Looking into the eyes of a criminal, we have to ask, how will a little girl, a low-level thug, a businesswoman, become the most dangerous villains around? Simple answer. They all got their start in this city, and it's up to us to stop them.
And welcome to Gotham Talk Podcast. This is your host, Excuse Radio, and tonight we are talking about the finale. Oh my gosh, 22 episodes. That means 22 podcasts in. We are done with Gotham. Tonight aired the season finale titled All Happy Families Are Alike. So 22, season 1 of Gotham. Wow, what a great ending. I mean, I didn't know how they were going to pull it off, but they sure did. From the Batcave to Fish Mooney to the rise of the Penguin, also the rise of the Riddler, Edward Nygma. Tons to talk about. Also, Catwoman, Miss Selina Kyle was also intricate in this season finale. I wonder if Bruce Wayne would have approved of her actions joining forces with Fish Mooney. Yes, tonight we are discussing All Happy Families Are Alike. Let me read you a brief description of the season finale of Gotham. It starts as Gotham City's gang war reaches its boiling point. Fish Mooney goes head-to-head with Maroonie and Penguin in an attempt to retake her claim on the city. Meanwhile, Barbara and Leslie Tompkins are brought together after recent events, and Bruce searches Wayne Manor for any hints that his father might have left behind. And boy, oh boy, did we find out what was that one hint. Now, a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, so Bruce Wayne's father created the Batcave? No, we don't know yet. Obviously not. I'm sure he had like a secret underground office or laboratory with elaborate gadgets, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? We won't know until season 2 as that develops. The rise of the Batcave, also the rise of the Penguin. OMG. Too much to say, too little time. Join us. We're live right now. Call in at 347-637-3821. If you're a fan of Gotham, you're at the right place. You could talk to us and tell us why you're a fan of Gotham. And did the finale hold up for you guys? I want to know. For me, I'm satisfied. That was a great way to cut it off until season 2. I'm very happy with the series overall. Pretty some low points, but majority, it was pretty positive for me. I know a lot of you have been very vocal of your opinions on how not likable to the series that you are. So let's talk about that as well. But yes, the finale is here. Pretty uneventful, but it happened. Jim Gordon, Ben McKenzie, thumbs up for you, sir. In my eyes, you are Jim Gordon. I'm sorry. That's all I have to say. All right, let's go to the phones from area code 239. Who is this?
Detective Matt Gordon. What's up?
Matt Gordon. Wow. What's up, sir?
Not much. Wow, there is some crazy Barbara moment. What the hell?
Yeah, then she turned psycho.
I have no idea, but
what happened? Do you think he brainwashed her? Do you think the ogre brainwashed her to like train her to kill?
Yeah, like what happened to Oliver on Arrow. I mean, God, it was so good. It was very good. And then Penguin putting her into the ocean. We're okay, fish, time to dive in with the fishes.
Yep, that's what I thought when she fell in, when I heard like a puddle. Not a puddle, a splash. I heard, oh, now she's really living with the fishes.
Yeah, and then Penguin saying, I am the king of Gotham. I am the king of Gotham. And then I said in my head, oh, God, he's going to be the full-blown Penguin in season two.
Yes.
Oh God,
do you think he might gain some weight from now till then?
I have a feeling so. But please, I hope they cut out his mom for season two.
Yeah, we don't need his mom coming back.
No,
that's for sure.
I loved the ending with the Batcave. I was so pleading for the Batcave when they were showing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, I wanted to see more of it, but we have to wait till the season two premiere.
We do, we do.
I somehow knew.
But overall, it was a pretty good cliffhanger, right?
Yeah, to see the Batcave there, to see that.
Yeah.
There, but still, Psycho Barbara, I mean, that was just insane. Seeing her.
That was so random.
That was crazy, but great ending. Seeing the mob war, seeing evil Catwoman, I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. It was a great ending and a great way to make us wait now for more.
Yes. I hope there are more decent episodes and it speeds it up a bit.
Yeah, let's hope the writers and the showrunner learn their lesson on season one and pick it up a notch. Let's see, we have a new caller from area code 469. Who is this?
The one and only Joe from Krypton.
What's up, Joe? How's it going?
Yo, yo. What's up?
Yo, lo.
We got Marvel Film Talk tonight. Big event.
Matt, I love that name. That's your name from now on, Detective Matt Gordon. I love that
name
for you, dude.
Yep.
Matt Gordon. There you go. So, Joe, did you watch tonight's season finale?
Unfortunately, no. I'm just here to be spoiled on it. So I'm
awesome. Well, yeah, as you can hear from our reaction, you're going to love this one if you're a DC fan.
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
The rise of all the Rogues Gallery and also the rise of the Batcave. Really cool way he finds it.
I have read some spoilers, and it sounds pretty intriguing. I read a spoiler about Penguin almost slitting Falcone's throat while he's strapped to a gurney.
Yep.
I was like, whoa.
Yep. He got so close, and then we see Jim come out, and he goes, freeze! And he's like, and you can see Penguin's face, like, damn it! Like, he's like,
wow.
Go away! He's like, walk away! Yeah.
I can't wait to see it, dude. I'm really happy.
And then the return to Fish Mooney, that was pretty, Matt, that was pretty dramatic, her entrance back to Gotham, right, on the boat?
Yeah, then somehow she recruited Cat. I mean, that was just crazy.
And then how do you think she recruited Selina Kyle? What did she...
I don't know.
I wonder what she promised her.
She just, like, said, good morning, and then Kat goes, like, it's not morning yet, and then she goes,
it will be. Yeah.
It will be.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so Fish Mooney returns to Gotham in a very dramatic way. Because remember, last time we saw her, she was flying the helicopter.
Yeah, how did she get
so they never explained the transition from helicopter to boat. They never explained that.
Hey, based off of this finale, guys, since you guys have watched it, did they wrap up Fish Mooney's storyline, or does it look like she's coming back? For
yep. Three? If you haven't listened to the, if you haven't watched the show, I advise you to hang up or turn off the change browsers on the internet, because this is a full spoiler podcast. So yes, Fish Mooney has what, Matt?
Has returned to Gotham to start the gang war.
Yes, and then at the end, the Penguin pushes her off a ledge, and she falls to her death in the ocean.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and at that point, the Penguin gets on the rooftop and starts yelling, like Matt stated earlier, I am the king of Gotham! The king! And you see the Gotham city in the background with the dark clouds. And he's like, the king! The king of Gotham! So at the end of the day... Oh, wait, you haven't even heard! Let's rewind a little. I know we're all over the place for those who are listening, but come on, we're excited. Give us this one moment where we can just go anywhere. So jumping back a little, it looks like when the Penguin was going to slash Maroni's throat, that's when Jim Gordon, of course, came. We mentioned that earlier, and told him to freeze. And then Maroni says, take me to... Falcone says, take me to my safe house. That's where I could regroup and I could end this war. And Jim actually wanted Falcone to kind of like set the city at rest, right, Matt? He kind of needed his help because it was chaos.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah. Okay. And then after that... they go to the safe house, and then they are confronted by Fish Mooney and her goons, and so it's like a standoff. So of course they get tied up, and at this point that's where we see Selina Kyle show up at the safe house with Fish Mooney, kind of like the same hairstyle too, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna tone down your mic here. There's a lot of feedback. Okay, so then after that, Maroni comes in and he says, you know, Fish Mooney, you've done well. Now that we could kill Falcone, and you know, you could be like working. He kind of stated like something working for her, and then at that point, Fish is like working for. No. I don't report to anyone. She wants to be her own boss. She wants to get some property as well, and then. Maroni says, sure, babe, or sure, toots. And she really didn't like that. And she goes, I'm not your babe. And then he's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. And then he goes on and on and like, okay, so I'm the captain one, and you're the captain two. And then she's like, sure, whatever. And then he keeps like... calling her babe or toots, and then he tells his other people, his gang, he goes, okay, don't call her babe or anything. And I guess that pushed over, and boom, she shoots Maroni and kills him. I was like, what's going on?
Oh my gosh, Maroni?
Yeah.
Guys?
So Fish Mooney kills Maroni, and then it's all like a big shootout between Maroni's men and Fish. And then that's when they get separated, and then the Penguin confronts Fish Mooney on the roof, and then Butch holds the gun while they're struggling. Butch comes up, and remember, Butch is a little brainwashed, and so he doesn't know. He's confused. He doesn't know if he should shoot Mooney or if he should shoot the Penguin, and then finally he shoots Fish Mooney. And she gets hurt, and he's like, Budge, why? And then Budge is like, I'm sorry, I love you. And she goes, no, I understand. You know, they mess with your brain. And then Penguin comes up with a piece of plywood and knocks him out. And then that's when he pushes Fish Mooney over the ledge, and she falls to her death. So two gang members out. And at the end of the day, it's still Falcone and the Penguin. But Falcone also states that he's retiring and he's going to move to Florida and get away from all of this. So it looks like it's just the Penguin now.
I cannot believe Maroni's dead, man. I really like that
actor.
He was so good, man.
Yeah, he's dead. Matt, what were your thoughts when Fish shot Maroni?
I thought that was crazy. Really, really intense. I mean... I knew that was coming. I mean,
yeah. At that point, I'm like, "Oh, Fish is not messing around. Anyone else could go down, right?"
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what I thought.
When all the cops and the mob were fighting each other, and when Gordon and Bullock and Falcone got out, and they were all going at it, that part was one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, there's a few of mine as well. The shootout between Jim Gordon and at the hospital when he's trying to protect Falcone from Maroni's gang members. Do you remember that shootout, Matt?
Yeah, that part was.
Yeah, so I really liked it because this showed Jim going. It was like almost like Cowboys and Indians. It was like a full shootout scene we see Jim Gordon with two guns in his hands just going pow, 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 pow. I mean, it was really well done the way they photographed that. And I think at one point they even, like, slowed it down when he was, like, with his guns. It just looked really cool. And I'm like, wow, can you imagine all this was going on way before Batman? And I think that's my appeal to the show is that, you know, we're just learning so much, like, how gritty Gotham really is, rather than just through the eyes of Batman.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Matt, you already gave us a few of your favorite scenes. Do you have any more that you want to share?
I'd say also the opening scene where Falcone's car is exploded. That scene was pretty awesome.
And, yeah, they like shot a bazooka.
Yeah, or something.
That was crazy.
Like that. Yep, and Psychotic Barbara. I thought that was kind of crazy seeing a cat fight there over Jim. Or I have no clue why Barbara went psycho. Why would
that was
so
that was so unexpected.
Why she wanted to kill Dr. Thompson or Dr. Tompkins, but thank God Jim got there in time.
Yes, I agree.
To start the fresh, awesome DC week, I can't wait for Flash tomorrow night. Grodd arrived.
Yeah, so back to Gotham. Are we going to miss Fish Mooney? Let's go to you, Joe. I know you haven't seen the episode, but now that you know that she's long gone, are we going to miss Fish Mooney, or we're just moving on to the next villain?
Well, personally speaking, I really liked her character. I know there's fans out there that didn't really care for her, but I thought she was good to the show, dude. I wouldn't mind if DC Comics wrote her into the comic books. I think she's that good of a character.
Yeah, or even the movies. You never know.
Yeah, that too, absolutely.
What about you, Matt? Are you going to miss Fish Mooney?
Not really. I thought she was kind of weird and kind of dumb, wanting to be the big boss of Gotham or just wanting to take over. Nah, not really.
All right, well, there you go. Matt, not interested in Fish Mooney coming back. I will miss her. I think she brought something really gritty and cool. You knew that every time she was on screen, she was not messing around. I mean, you know, we have, like, the Penguin with his mother. Whenever we see that, we see the goofy Penguin. Or also even with Edward Nygma, you know, we see the goofy Edward Nygma. And but with Fish Mooney, it never got goofy with her. It was always serious. And we needed something like that. We didn't, you know, I don't like it when they turn these villains into campy characters. And especially the city like this, the type of city that they have established, there's no room for goofing around. And you always have to watch your back. You always have to second-guess your friends or your contacts. And that's the feeling I got with Fish Mooney. And I think I'm going to miss her, definitely. And Jada Pinkett Smith, if you're listening, or anyone that knows her, tell her. She's always welcome on the podcast. And we could talk about her brief, run with Gotham the whole season. And unfortunately, we might not see her unless they do one of those, oh, she survived the fall. You never know. It is a comic book,
yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah.
Do you think Fish Mooney is done for the deal, Matt? Do you think she's coming back?
I think she could come back, or she's just done with the deal. Well, I think she's done with the deal because when your character dies, they're done.
Yeah. What about you, Joe? Do you think they might find a way to bring her back?
In comics, in comic book movies, in comic book TV shows, never write someone off as completely dead.
There you go. Because they always come back.
That's right.
Yeah. Good thought there, Joe. All right, so let's see. Another favorite scene of mine was the reveal of the Batcave. It was so cool how Bruce Wayne was always thinking of his father on how many secrets he might have kept from him or Alfred, and Bruce Wayne goes on his own and tries to uncover what secrets Thomas Wayne left behind in his study. And he locks the, you know, and he starts taking all the books out, and there's no switch. I thought it was going to be, you know what I thought, Matt? I thought it was going to be the helmet. There's like a medieval helmet in the room that they were at. I thought it was going to be one of those where they lift the head up, kind of like the campy Batman series, you know, how they lift the head up, and there's a red button. I thought it was going to be that, but I was like, no way, it better not be. Now, here's my question about the Batcave scene, and Joe, I know you haven't seen it, but if we describe it, I'm sure you know what we're talking about. So at this point, the secret passage opens to a cave underneath Wayne Manor, and we see railing, meaning Thomas Wayne has gone through that corridor and down to the basement, or the, you know, the cave underneath Wayne Manor. And as the camera goes down deep in following the stairs, we hear bats, right, Matt? Did you hear the bats?
Actually, no.
We didn't see the bats, but we heard the bats. There's like these, it's like a flutter, like a and I was like, wait a minute, Thomas Wayne was Batman? What's going on? Like, I've never seen this type of version of the reveal of the Batcave. I've always seen either Bruce Wayne, if you recall in the comic books, falling through and then discovering the cave on his own. I've also seen versions where in the comic books, Bruce Wayne is kind of exploring the grounds, and he finds this cave, and he says, this would be great, and then he's confronted with the bat. I've seen different variations, but I've not seen this one. And I want to ask you, do you think the way they revealed it was kind of cool in a unique way, or do you think they should have stuck to the comic book? Let's go to you, Matt.
I thought it was pretty much a unique way. What's going on?
Yeah, tell us why.
Just because it's a good show and very interesting.
Okay. All right, and Joe, your thoughts? I just described the way Gotham showed us the Batcave. Very planned out, as I mentioned that Thomas Wayne left the remote key and the thing open, and then he was able to look inside, and there's stairs and railing to hold on to. Your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a couple of things let me point out. Well, in Batman Begins, let's not forget that Thomas Wayne had been in the Batcave before, and his family had historically used them to, like, what did he say? To
right, for the slaves.
Help phrase,
yeah, the Underground Railroad.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that maybe Thomas Wayne was Batman before, but in the Flashpoint comics, Thomas Wayne was Batman when Bruce Wayne was killed as a kid. So there's that.
Do you think this is Flashpoint Gotham?
I mean, they could. It could.
Well, Thomas Wayne would have to be alive if there was.
Yeah, but it could just be a nod to it. Who knows? I don't know. I think it's pretty cool, though. Let's explore it in season two, see where it goes.
Yeah, let's see where it goes. And that's the big question. Where will Gotham take us? Will there be a time jump, or do you think they'll continue right where they left off, like other series sometimes do? I know I asked you guys again, but I got to ask you one last time on the season one. Do you think Gotham will give us a time jump of Bruce Wayne, let's say 5 years now into the future? How old is he now in the series? Do you guys remember?
He's like 10.
Okay, so let's say it jumps 5 or 10 years from now. Do you think that will happen, or do you think the creators will stick to the rule as where they last left us?
As much as I would like a time jump, I don't really see the creators doing it, because then that also means you have to recast Bruce Wayne. And I think they really like this kid. He's really, he does young Bruce Wayne really well.
Yeah. No, I agree. He does very well. All right, let's go to you, Matt. Your thoughts on the time jump. Will there be a time jump?
I think they should do one. I mean, I'm just saying they should do one, but I think it won't happen. But I'd say at his age, if they were to do a time jump, it'll probably be like around 15, or he'd be 20, just becoming Batman after his training, possibly by Oliver or even Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, and it would suck to have 2 years of Ra's al Ghul, first on Arrow and now on Gotham. I think Gotham kind of stole the pony from that show. Before I let the room talk about anything Gotham before we wrap up here, I wanted to bring up on TMZ, the title of their article is titled Gotham Child Star, Young Catwoman Getting Paid Pretty Penny. They report that Gotham actress Carmen Bicondova is laughing all the way to the piggy bank. The 15-year-old is making a fortune as Selina Kyle. According to her contract, which was filed with the courts, Carmen makes $17,500 per episode while providing a little eye-opening insight into Catwoman's past. And just for the season one, if the show makes it to 7 seasons, she'll rake in $20,477 an episode. Not bad for someone who was a runner-up on America's Best Dance Crew. She made a grand total of $385,000 for season one. That's impressive, but dwarfed to Michelle Pfeiffer, who pulled in $3 million for her Catwoman lady role, and Halle Berry snagging $14 million. I cannot believe Halle Berry got paid $14 million to play Catwoman. That sucks, because she was the worst one yet.
That movie's a shit, but I'm sorry. That movie was...
Yeah, no, that's all right. That's all right. Yeah, so I just want to bring that up. Like, wow, this 15-year-old is totally awesome making bank, and unfortunately, TMZ has this information. I don't know how they got it. And they totally blasted her by putting how much she makes on Gotham. Can you imagine how much Bruce Wayne makes? He has to make a little bit more, right? He's Bruce Wayne.
What, $25,000 an episode, something like
that? Wow, can you imagine? Awesome. Unbelievable. Okay, so the floor is yours, guys. If you guys want to say anything before we wrap up Gotham, and by the way, if you're listening to this podcast, this will be the last podcast I'll do until the season returns. So it'll be
September.
Returning back in the fall. Let's go to you, Matt from Florida. Anything you want to talk about Gotham?
Well, not much. Just to say it's a great TV show. It's awesome.
Yeah.
DC started very, very fresh this year. Great TV show. I enjoy it. Very
Can you imagine next season? It's going to be Gotham, Supergirl,
yeah,
Arrow, The Flash, and then Legions of Tomorrow. Legends, not Legion. And Teen Titans. It's going to be crazy.
Well, sadly, I found out, guys, that Supergirl won't premiere till the following summer of 2016.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, let's wrap it up. Anything you want to talk about Gotham?
Yeah, I just want to say I really, really liked, and I know a lot of people didn't, but I really liked Fish Mooney. I really liked the way Jada Pinkett played the character.
Yeah, me too.
I thought she was great, and I'm really sad that she won't be coming back because she was one of the highlights of the show.
But yeah.
I would like to see her now that she's proven herself on TV with DC property. You know, her husband's in a DC movie. I'd like to see Jada Pinkett as another character in the DC cinematic universe. I think she would be great in a DC movie. So, yeah,
I agree.
Jada Pinkett DC movies, please.
Yeah, she would have even been a great Amanda Waller.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good take.
That'd be great.
I'd like that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's it. We conclude Gotham Talk. Wow, I cannot believe I have already done 22 episodes of Gotham Talk. It looks like I just started last night with episode one. It's been a great talk. I want to thank you, Joe, since you're the last one on the line here. You have broken the record. as to being the last caller of Gotham. Do you want to say any last words?
Yeah, I just want to say, next season, guys, please, we're all friends here, but we welcome new callers. Please call in.
Yes. Please call in next year. It should be the same number, 347-637-3821. Listen to our other podcast, DC Comics Talk. If you subscribe there, you'll get everything that I've done goes on there. So definitely follow that. All right, guys. So that concludes our last episode of Season 1, Gotham. Have a good night.
Good night.